kind of found out how you could use it for journalism and stuff, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
So it's more than a game. And actually, the game thing is also very fun.
The game thing can be fun when you get somebody who, when you get a friend and you're battling over who's the mayor.
Yeah.
You know, that's, I need to check in while we're here. Just, you know. But the, it's really interesting because Foursquare, I love the location data that you get from it. And I love the layer of editorial and creativity that you can put into that. But it requires critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to New York, Foursquare is amazing. Or if you go to the South by Southwest Festival, by the way, I thoroughly recommend it. If you can get yourself on a trip to South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, in March, it's amazing. And in those two, in New York and in Austin, it works because there's so many people who are on Foursquare all in the same place at the same time. It just kicks up into another level because it's all about how many people are checking in and serendipity of where your friends are and there being enough special offers at the right places where you're having lunch that you think, actually, yeah, there is a bar around the corner that does drinks at 2 for 1, so I'll go to, you know, all that kind of commercial stuff around it, but it only works when there's enough people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've been trying it out for, it launched about 3 years ago. When it launched 2 years ago in the UK, I did the first month of it intensively so that I could understand what it was, and then I went, okay, I understand what it is, okay, don't need to do it anymore. And then about a year ago, I went back on because I thought, well, maybe it's come on and, you know, maybe it's moved and... And it'll come on a bit, but not enough. And so, you know, last year I've been checking in, you know, and that's, I'm now getting some competition with some other people. I've got some work colleagues who are doing it, and they're, you know, they're much younger than me, and they're beginning to vie for the mayorship of Manchester City Football Club, and it's kind of, that's interesting watching them interact around it. But the special offers aren't there, and there's still a handful of people checking in. Total number of check-ins in, they don't normally release the figures, but I know somebody in Foursquare, so... The total number of check-ins in Manchester as a whole after 3 years was just over 100,000,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing. And the total number of check-ins at the stadium in 3 years was like 2,500. Yeah, so that's half of that's me. You know, it's just ridiculous. And until that service reached critical mass, that's the issue. But you've got to know about it. You know, you've got to know the new service. Another one, Path. It's another image sharing where you're sharing a stream. That's another smartphone service to check out. So I'm really conscious I don't know enough about mobile. I guess you guys must have done some mobile stuff on your course. My mobile knowledge is slim. For the BFI, I'm developing a connected TV application to editorialize what the BFI has around its festival every year. And it does loads of interviews, really, really good interviews with really top-flight A-list Hollywood stars and directors and all that stuff. And at the moment, they just put it out on a bit of it on YouTube and some of it on their own website. So we're building a connected TV app. But from my point of view, you know, say what's the core skill? It's
mm-hmm.
that excites me to find out what this can do, how it technically works, what I can do with it editorially, and create something out of it.
Yeah, the thing is that all technology is based for younger generation. If you look at it, the old people will not use it at all. So how can you encourage them to, you know, just try it out once?
Yeah, it's a good question. Marketing to the older generation is... well, Twitter has an older demographic than Facebook, doesn't it? The Twitter demographic is generally held to be 35 to 44. A lot, you know, which is... But when you say old, you mean like 55 upwards or whatever. Well, and... In a way, maybe the right service hasn't come along for them yet. My parents are 70-something, and they don't use Facebook particularly. But they do get... They now understand what Flickr is. And they can see the idea that sharing photographs online makes more sense for them. So how can you get them... I guess you need the right service and need to market it in the right way. Are you thinking of a particular example? Or a particular... Maybe is there a gap in the market? I mean,
because back in India, most of them still sticks to... newspapers,
yeah.
Very few, and the ones who are going to the using the internet are more the IT crowd, that is between 25 to 35 age group. So
do they is genealogy something that's big in India? Because my parents spent hours on ancestry.com looking up family histories. which is, it's a big, I don't know if that's an age thing, but it feels like around the age of 60 something, you start to become interested in where your ancestors were and what they were doing, and you know, go back. I mean, and that's an example of a service in the UK that's done well. I mean, just that little niche.
There was a big increase in Facebook, social network use over 60s. I think in the last Ofcom report last year. And I know my mum's on Facebook, and she's in her 60s. And
she's just monitoring you.
Exactly, yeah. I think it's more to do with my sister, because my sister has never had a computer, and so my sister communicates through Facebook.
Right.
And so my mum then uses Facebook, so there's that dynamic. But no, my mother-in-law is now following me on Twitter, and she never told me.
She's
very sly, yeah. She signed up, and it was only by accident I thought, hold on, that's my mother-in-law. When did she start following
that? My mum got to 76, was genuinely quite upset, and very nearly got a Facebook profile, because when my son was born, I put a picture of him on Facebook.
Mm.
And so a whole bunch of my family got to see him before she, and it wasn't before she saw him, because she saw him really early on as well. I didn't put him on Facebook before. I let my family see him first. Then I put it on Facebook. I wasn't that bad. I was tweeting from the birth room. But she wanted to tell them.
Okay.
That was the way. She just wanted to be on the phone ringing them up and going, oh, guess what? Richard's just had it, you know. Which was, yeah, exactly. She wanted the exclusive.
Yeah.
And I'd gone went first.
Strategy, yeah.
you had a question.
Yeah, no, I was just wondering, do you feel you are the kind of person who can't live without reading a paper? I mean, just being on the...
Oh, I think newspapers are dead.
Oh, yeah, that's the other question.
I never read a newspaper.
Wow.
I get the answer for this lecture.
Yeah. That's not quite true. I don't get a newspaper on... I used to get a newspaper on a Sunday, and then, you know... enjoy, but what I enjoyed wasn't the newspaper, it was the social interaction of sharing a newspaper with my friends or with my family on a Sunday. I can't imagine why I would read a newspaper unless it was for an in-depth, you know, report, in which case it's as good online as it is in the newspaper. So, what? And actually the filtering for me, the thing is, if I buy a newspaper which I think is, you know, completely my kind of newspaper, it's never going to be as good as my Twitter feed, because the friends that I have who are tweeting do the editorial selection for me, and that social recommendation engine, the social graph, is way more important to me than the editor of The Guardian or the editor of The Times or the whatever it is. And he's always going to be out of date. He's always, I know he's 8 hours behind, at least, you know, so, yeah. But they're not dead yet. I mean, vinyl's good, right? Vinyl is not dead yet. There are people who love vinyl, and that's okay too. So newspapers will keep going for a bit, you know.
So what sort of offline strategies do you engage in? Do you marry with your online activities? That is, trying, if you build something and you want to get people to look at.
Yeah. So the principal thing with what's the best example? Let's take the football example.
Yeah.
It's easy when you have 40,000 people turning up every week. The issue is that the business can't survive on 40,000 people turning up. We need significantly more than that, especially with things we've just posted £194 million loss. So the offline strategies that we use include membership is the key thing. So all of our content, all of our online delivery is free and without advertising. The membership value comes from... we unlock certain bits of content, for special content for members, and the membership strategy includes a membership card, and the membership card has, well, it's like an Oyster card. It has an RFID chip built into it that they use for accessing the stadium, but we're going to use it for accessing shops or transport services in the city centre, and it also has on it... an augmented reality marker and a personalized QR code, so that I can encourage people that by using these services, they will then release more pieces of content, or special competitions, or prizes, or extra services, or money off thing. I mean, there's nothing like money off. You know, the one of them for me is, actually this doesn't answer your question, but a Facebook Foursquare service that we're doing is, if you check into the stadium more than an hour before the game, then you get half price food and beer. Because what we want to try and do is encourage people to be able to come for a greater period of time, buy more food, buy more drink, and then we'll put more entertainment services and things around there as well, and turn that into a whole day experience rather than just a, you know, 2 hours for a football game. There's, I mean, as well as that, there's a whole bunch of marketing things that go in there. Is that what you meant?
Yeah,